Okay, I'm going to call to order our regular scheduled meeting of the Stanton City Council, our successor agency, the Housing Authority, at 6:30. If you would all please, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Go ahead.
Council Agency Authority Member Merritt?
Yes.
Council Agency Authority Member Gann?
Here.
Council Agency Authority Member Warren?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chairman Gannon?
Here.
And Mayor Chairman Ballard?
Yes, thank you. Okay, Francine, if you'll lead us in the pledge tonight, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Francine. Okay, do we have anything to report out of closed session?
Thank you, Mayor. Council, there's nothing to report out.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're going to have our special presentations and awards at this time. And at this time, we're going to be presenting certificate of recognition honoring the United States Postal Service branch of Stanton, who are the carriers in the front line of delivery of our mail. So before we do that, what we'll do is I want to go read a little something. I'd like to have my council comment. And then, folks, we'd like to have you come up when we call your name, and we're going to give you your awards. And then we'd like to get a team photo for you. Thank you. This is pretty much kind of what's on all of the certificates. So this is for each and every one of you. The City Council of the City of Stanton and its residents do hereby officially commend and salute the dedication and hard work of our nation's postal workers services during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Stanton City Council furthermore commends the city's first responders and government, our postal workers, who have worked on the hottest and coldest days of the year to do their jobs well. It is fitting that we join in the celebration and accomplishment and recognition of our postal workers, whose unique devotion to duty and to country and for their unselfish commitment to the citizens of Stanton and its continued growth, progress, and success in providing excellent public services which attain a high quality of life for all of its citizens. Our postal workers have proven to be valuable members of our Stanton community, and we pay special tribute to them, and our gratitude and respect will always be there. This certificate is going to be presented as an enduring memento of our gratitude and appreciation. And so let's give them a big hand. Thank you. So when we call your name, if you would come up, we're going to give you your certificate, and we're also going to give you a souvenir. You can wear it when you deliver mail. It's a Stanton. You get a Stanton pin, okay? So you're official Stanton mail carriers, okay? Yeah, please. Yeah, why don't you give them to me, and then they can meet them down there. Okay. Council, if you go down to give out the pins, I'll go ahead and read off the names.
All right.
Okay. We don't have a portable mic.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to start first of all with Ms. Kui Zhang, please. Okay, no problem. Okay, Mr. Rizvi Abbas. Mr. Trung Lai. Mr. Vito Carbonera. Ms. Zarina Kaur.
Ms. Warren?
Mr. Austin Teruli. Okay. Mr. Brian Kazanis. Okay. Ms. Christian Davis. Okay.
Still appreciated.
Okay. Okay, you're going to have a lot of extra pins you can split up. That's good. Okay. Ms. Denise Martinez. Ms. Deddy Napsia.
Ms. Van.
Ms. Ho Lee. Okay. Mr. Jose Silas. Okay. Oh, it's my mailman, so I'm gonna give this one out. Mr. John Christopher Pineda. Okay, next we have Mr. Kevin Polk. Okay. Ms. Kim Lim. Okay. Mr. Martin Rodriguez. Carol. Ms. Kayla Carrillo. Okay. Ms. Patty Gray. Ms. Phi Nguyen. Ms. Huang Van, I'm sorry. Did you get one for Francine? Okay. Huh? Okay. Francine, we want to call you up, but we didn't have you. We misplaced your certificate. So when we give you these other 20, we'll give you yours. So instead of getting one tonight, you're going to get 20.
Oh, you got
come on up. Miss Francine Cruz. She's the one that's responsible for this happy group. Okay, Patricia, let's get a Kodak moment.
Supervisor Laura?
Yeah, Miss Ramos, come on up. Okay, now we've got two we have to get. All right. Thanks, guys. Good job. Okay, I will make a special announcement. We are in the process of working with the Postal Service to get banners with their all of our post carriers' pictures so we can put them up on the poles in recognition for their service. So
really?
We're working on that. Will she get that done shortly? And then we can have that up. Anyway, again, on behalf of our entire community and my city council, we really want to thank you for all you've done. It's been some tough times. We know because it's been that way with our staff, but we know that you guys are really diligent and we can always count on you, okay? So keep up the good work and keep those bills coming. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Hey, go sort some mail. Thanks, guys. Okay, we're now moving on to the consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar may act simultaneously. Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay. We didn't ask anything to be pulled by anybody in the audience, so we're in good shape. Okay, roll call, please.
Aye.
Aye. All right, we're going to now move on to the... That's a big consent calendar. Okay, we're now at the end of our consent calendar. We're moving into public hearings, of which we have none. Unfinished business. This is item 11A, approval of ordinance 1111. Madam Clerk? Any questions? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Okay, thank you. Madam Clerk, please call roll.
Yes.
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 Yes, thank you. We'll now move on to new business. 12A, this is the 2021 Annual League of California Cities Conference Resolution to propose bylaw amendments.
I
I have a question regarding resolution number one. Do we have any fulfillment centers in our city? We do not? Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I'd like to make an amendment to this, if I may. I would like to step down as the voting delegate, and I would like to have Alice Fan be our voting delegate. So if I can get a motion to that, I would appreciate it if you'll accept.
I will gladly accept. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, and I'll second that. Yeah. Madam Clerk, roll call, please. Okay, well, thank you very much. Thank you for taking that on, Alice. Okay,
Wait, is there any input on the resolutions? Is there anything you guys want me to vote?
I support both of them.
Okay, so for you, it's yes on both. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Yes on both.
Yes.
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 Aye. And let me interject. One of the things we've always done is we felt that the person that we sent up there is going to be well-educated enough. And also, once you get there, this is going to be thoroughly discussed. And so we've always kind of left it up to the delegate that goes to vote the way that they see fit, because there may be some lobbying, there may be some discussion. And so I'd like to kind of take a step back and give you the ability to vote the way you feel is in the best interest of the city after you hear all the discussions and you kind of understand what's going on with it. So if we could do that, I'd like to make that motion to give you free choice, if that's okay. So I'll make that motion. Okay, perfect. Okay.
I appreciate your trust, Mr. Mayor.
No, it's because, you know, there might be somebody up there that'll buy you a Coke or something and try to buy you.
I don't really think so
on these two items. You'll be okay. No, thank you for that. It's good if you send a rep up to let them figure out what's going on. Thank you. Okay, good. We're now at 12B, and this is a street name sign redesign. And who gets this one? Mr. Ames, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
This works? It works. Hello. Good evening, City Council. So we're on agenda item 12B, which is the street name sign redesign. I will give the staff report at this time. City Council previously authorized a budget of $150,000 in the current fiscal year for the replacement of street name signs citywide. And the city staff has procured these wonderful samples over here for your consideration. They consist of a variety of different text colors, background colors, logos, and city seals for evaluation by the City Council this evening. Staff is seeking direction on a specific street name sign design to pursue for competitive bids for fabrication and installation. We have about 750 street name signs on posts citywide, plus the ones that hang from the mast arms at various traffic signal intersections. As many of you are aware, many of the street name signs are peeling, and that is due to an anti-graffiti coating that was applied to the older version of the street name signs. That is that method of anti-graffiti coating is no longer used. There's no coating in that regard that would peel off on these signs here. So I made a recommendation mostly to choose from among 3 through 7, only because I feel signs 1 and 2 will disappear against the sky. And I wrote in the staff report that even some of the regulatory signs you see beside the road, such as a speed limit sign, even if it is a white background, it has a border around the edge, Which could be added to a street name sign, but in the samples here, I don't have that on the wall over here. And also, there's plenty of other options you can consider this evening in giving direction to city staff. One such option is adding a third color, a stripe on the bottom or top of the street name sign, scrolls and bonnets. Really, this is for discussion. I don't really have anything else to add at the current time, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have while you discuss these designs. Thank you.
Yes, Alice.
If I may, the $150,000 for 750 street signs, so that's about $200 per street sign. Does that include removing our current signs, installing the new signs, and the cost of production of the signs?
So the budget was authorized for $150,000. The budget that was authorized by City Council was $150,000. I do not expect that it will actually cost that much. I'm told that street name signs for fabrication on the order of about $70 to $75 a piece, and installation, we wouldn't even come up to that dollar amount. There is a buffer in there because of the overhead signs at the traffic signals, but I really don't think that we'll use that entire budget for this process.
So that means that if we included some embellishments, we would not exceed the budget?
Generally speaking, yes, but I don't know what kind of embellishments you're looking for.
Sure. Great, thank you.
Sure.
Yes, go ahead.
My son John runs a Facebook site, Friends of Residents of Stanton, and once the agenda came out, he put up the signs on the site and asked for input from Stanton residents. And if he could come up for a second and talk about it, I think what I'm thinking is because Stanton is pretty aggressive on their social media, but any option to promote our social media, to promote resident input, maybe we take the signs, whittle them down to three, and have the community vote on it. Or we could even have the community design them and do, you know, pick out of that. I think to involve the community would be a good idea in this effort. So I don't know, if you want to call John up, he has a lot of comments.
Of course, bring John up. It's always nice to hear from John. Questions for John?
John, how many responses?
Okay, thanks, John. Appreciate it. I had a couple questions. What's the warranty on these?
I do not know what the warranty is on these. These were fabricated as mock-ups for discussion at the meeting here this evening. So depends on the vendor that we select, what the warranty may be. We also could write that in the bid specifications. So those are things I still plan on exploring.
And the reason is we spent a great deal of money on our last series after we had our green ones, and they peeled apart. And now I don't know if that's natural or not, but we sure as heck don't want ones that are going to peel apart. If there's, I mean, if they're made of metal and they have the right coating on them, UV protection, I think they should last a lot longer than what we got out of the last ones. And so I would be very interested in the type of material and whether or not there's a warranty with it, and also the warranty to cover installation if something happens to it. So that's just a thought I was, you know, to me that's important, I think. We always want them to look nice in our community, and we don't want a half of them to fade away and the other half to still be there within a short period of time. So is that possible?
Yeah, as Director Ames stated, that's something that we can certainly explore. Tonight, really, we're just wanting to get your feedback on which sign you like, or sign three preferences that we can send to a vote of the community. And then once a design is selected, we'll go through the RFP process and we'll nail down some of those finer points in that content.
Okay. We'll start at the end. Carol, you're first.
We have a style guide for the city of Stanton, and the brown is not in our style guide, and neither is the turquoise. So in the source of just following the city's branding so we're consistent, I would probably go with three. But again, I think we should open it up. I think we should get social media involved and get the public involved. So if I had to pick three for the public,
one option we can interject is we can go back to the drawing board as well. If you're not sold on any of these based on the initial feedback, we can reach out to the fabricator to prepare these and ask them to come up with three other alternatives.
Yeah.
Using a combination or a blend of anything that was in the report, right? I think it's Manhattan or most beach had a nice, you know, kind of underscored orange line to offset theirs. Our style guide is yellow. Do we add a yellow line? I've heard some things about the Stater Brothers logo, right? See what we have. Do we take an opportunity to redesign the street sign? Doesn't have to include the Stanton logo. Doesn't have to include our seal. It could be, I believe Downey uses a nice, you know, kind of italicized D for there. So we can go back to the drawing board if nothing here is catching your eye.
Well, our way signs and all the directional signs in the city use the Bird of Paradise. So I would be supporting getting some more designs in, taking advantage of the Bird of Paradise to match up with our other signs. And yeah, I was gonna at the end of the meeting suggest that for a future session we look at redoing the seal for the city of Stanton so we're not a windmill anymore. So I would pick number three, and then I would be open to new designs.
Thank you. Alice?
Thank you, John, for having feedback collected from the residents. I think that's really important, and I'm glad that you went through that effort. And I agree with the residents that perhaps the best choices of the seven is three and five, but it seemed like there were so many people who were vehemently against brown that we should not consider it. However, I do notice that our neighboring cities seem to have a lot of blue, and Stanton border is already confusing enough as is. I want to make sure that when they enter Stanton, they know this is Stanton. And so I would like to entertain the idea of doing what City of Santa Monica does and have that gold stripe at the bottom, since that is part of our city colors. And perhaps I believe the way the City of Santa Monica did it is they had the blue go all the way to the edge, whereas I think we have a white border right now. So maybe do that. And then, if we can get a new seal, maybe have that Bird of Paradise seal on there, and then that would be a very distinctive, very beautiful work of art that we could have in our streets. But I definitely want to create, good branding for us and have it so that's easily identifiable, that people know you are in Stanton and we are a beautiful city. So.
Three.
Gary.
I like three. I think three would be great. I like the way Stanton is written out there rather than the seal. You can't really, from the ground, I don't think you're able to see this seal anyway. But I like three a lot.
Red with yellow lettering.
Oh my gosh.
Home of USC.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like three also, but what I was going to say is I think one of the things, we are only 3.5 square miles, we're surrounded by seven cities. Somewhere we should put Stanton's name on there. I don't know how we do it. I appreciate the Bird of Paradise, but if we don't have Stanton on there, people get really confused, especially because a lot of ours are unincorporated, incorporated, city, Anaheim, you know what I mean? So I think it's important we have Anaheim. I mean, Stanton. Yeah, you guys just think your property values are going to go up, that's all. But anyway, the other thing, too, is we have a lot of really fine artists in this community because I went to the art show. We all went to the art show. And there's some really creative talent out there. I would like to open it up. We can put these up as an example and then maybe show them what we kind of want as a basic and then see what the artists come up with.
We could create a template that they would have to follow for sizing and
ratio. I mean, number three is probably closest to what we want. I like the blue background with the white lettering. I like the word Stanton, where it can be seen. I mean, if we had to make a decision tonight, I would vote for three. But I think it's also, we don't have to choose it, but I think it's good that it kind of gives a flavor for what our community is all about and give the young talented or old talented artists a chance to be creative. Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to ask, in our current signs, we have for example, the word avenue on the top, and then there's a number right below it. Would that be retained for our next street signs? Would we be able to keep that numbering system?
Thank you, Councilmember. That's a great question. That is an optional item. I was going to talk about that, and thank you for mentioning that. It is an optional item if the council wants to have block numbers listed on signs. It's generally useful, especially on streets where the streets are discontinuous. We have a few streets in the community that are discontinuous that are broken up, and so that is helpful, but it's not required.
As a person that lives on a lane that's also a street, that's also a place in Stanton, we desperately need that, and we also need the room for BLVD for Boulevard, so yeah, I think there has to be room at the end for numbers and a little bit longer abbreviation.
What happens to the old signs?
We sell them.
Can we auction them off for a nonprofit?
Yeah, seriously, can we auction them off?
Yeah, we auction them off.
Or okay. Sell them, $200, yeah. $100 and it goes to the foundation.
Right.
They're like 15, so don't get carried away there.
And maybe they'll be worth more if somebody signs it.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, if you get three bidders, you could probably get maybe more for it, right?
Wow. Okay, thank you.
Would we want to, when it comes back, we can talk about disposition of city property. I think there's a way in which we have to legally do that so we can have our attorney come up with that process. That'd be
so
great.
So what's the direction?
I think the direction from what I'm hearing is that we would like to at least maybe put a template out there. But we'll show number three because that's kind of what we're looking at. We can ask for any maybe improvements to it. Also, maybe we could get a draft with the three things we want. We want the Boulevard, Avenue, and Street on there. We want to have a number on it. We like the colors of number three, and we want to make sure we have the city of Stanton. So I think if we use that template and get something back from the people that submitted it, but then also have John do his magic after we get the template, then I think we could come back with some ideas in a short period of time and get it going, if you're all okay with that.
So you guys don't like the idea of the gold at the bottom? Having both city colors? Nobody likes that?
I don't mind it. That's fine.
So you're open to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can submit your entry.
All right, I will do that.
That's what I was gonna say. I think in our style guide, I know we have supporting colors. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah, we would limit it to two colors on the sign because over that we are going to start running into the $150,000 budget probably. So make it where they're allowed two colors.
Sure, that'll work.
Okay, Patricia, would you read back what we'd like?
So far I have put out a template utilizing option number three. And we'd like to see the draft that is people are on street numbers.
Yeah, and also make sure the city name is on there. Okay.
And do you want to see the two colors or
at
The stripe is the second color,
yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So two colors on the entries.
Yeah, we can work with the vendor to see what's appropriate. I think we have enough direction to design that second sign with it, and then we'll hold the contest, put it out on social media, on Facebook, so you can go feedback off of it. From the stand group as well. So we will do that in a relatively quick matter of time and return have some feedback.
Okay, the action on this is to have the city council declare that this project is exempt. And then, of course, then we'll also the directions that we gave. So is there a motion for that?
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. Roll call.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're going to go to oral communications at this time. At this time, members of the public may address the City Council, Successor Agency, and Stanton Housing Authority regarding any items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the City Council, the Successor Agency, the Stanton Housing Authority, provided that no action be taken on non-agenda items. Do we have any requests to speak? Okay. Yes, you may. Please step up. All we need is your name. Thank you. Thirty-5 years. Okay, we did approve it tonight, so we're giving you a copy of it. And then if you'll come up, Nick, we want to give you a couple of Stanton pins for your collection. And we won't tell them that your boys were in my Boy Scout troop, okay? That would tell them how old I am. We did have some interesting contract negotiations over the years, yes. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to the council at this time? Okay, I'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And we're now at written communications, of which we have none. Mayor, chairman, council, agency, authority, initiated business. Yes, Carol.
I'd like to put on the agenda for a future council meeting doing a branding refresh for the city of Stanton, and that would include the city seal. Just to where we take a look at the colors, the feel, how we're coming across. Just kind of do a refresh. I will.
And I think that's a great idea. And while we're doing that, I'd like to add, and I know that Jared and his staff have worked on this, a clothing line. Hats, t-shirts for our city. I think it's time that, you know, we have a lot to be proud of in our community. And people, you know, let's get those shirts. I mean, you can buy them at Walmart. You might as well get them from us. I'd also like to make sure that the money that goes to that goes to our local charities. So if we can set that up. There are a couple of vendors that actually are in our city that have the ability to put our products online, design them, sell them, and then give the money to the charities. So I think that's something that we could look at while we're doing our branding, if that's okay. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, we'll now move on to committee reports, council agency authority announcements. Yeah. Alice.
So this Saturday, the 18th, from 3 to 5 at Stanton Park, right next door, myself, State Senator Josh Newman, OC Autism Foundation, and the Vietnamese American Development Fund is hosting our second annual Mid-Autumn Festival drive-through event. So anyone with kids are welcome to attend, and they can pick up a free lantern, a pig-shaped moon cake, several types of treats and goodie bags. So you're welcome to attend, and this is a way to celebrate the cultural diversity in our city. Thank you.
Can I add to that?
Of course.
Zinnia, do we still have those diapers I got? Wouldn't that be a great place to possibly distribute diapers?
Sure, yeah. If you want to give out diapers,
We have 30,000 of them, so that would be good.
Where are you storing them?
Yeah, and then also, I'm trying to get a booth at the Fiesta the same weekend, and we could give diapers away to the people in the community that need them. That way it would help us with our distribution. So I'll contact you. Alice, if you'll contact her, then I think that would be a great outreach for our city.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else? Okay. This is the weekend. By the way, those moon pies are bean pies, right?
They are two flavors. One is a mung bean flavor, and one is a lotus flavor. So.
Yeah, don't get the bean ones. Anyway, this weekend, St. Polycarp and the whole, it's basically the whole city because the whole city comes because it's such a big event, is hosting a festival. This year, it's a little different than the Fiesta because there's not going to be a lot of rides there. But they are having a plethora of food, multicultural food, entertainment, bands, dancing, performa. So I wanted to publicly invite everyone to the festival. It's going to start on Friday evening at 5 and go till 10, Saturday from 11 to 10, and then on Sunday it's going to go from 10 to 8 in the evening. I'm sorry, 10 to 8, yeah, in the evening. So if you haven't bought your raffle tickets, you can do that. And also, there's no ride tickets. You don't have to worry about that. And all the food will be available. The nice thing, too, is we're able to get games for kids this year. So there'll be a lot of kid games. And no matter what the kid plays, he's going to be a winner. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that. So got a lot of things going on. So I'm just making that announcement. Thank you. Council agency authority initiated items for a future meeting. Council agency authority initiated items for a future study session. City council initiated items, discussion regarding the advantages and disadvantages of a charter city. Madam Clerk. Yes, thank you. In the light of the way, I don't got to put this delicately. Okay, the lawlessness of the way the situation is in California and also in Orange County, and the fact that we're really not getting much enforcement of anything anymore, although it really doesn't change some things, being a charter city does have us the ability to be more responsible in some of our governance. There are pros and cons to it. In the past, I've often thought that, you know, we didn't really need it. But I do think being a charter city gives us a little more leverage in some of our ordinances and things that we do. I'm not going one way or the other, but I'm just throwing it out there. So maybe that we could find out if we all feel it is better for us to be a charter city and it would be more advantageous to help our residents and our laws and enforce our, help our public safety, as well as some of the other things that we do in the community, even from a financial point of view, that we might want to consider it. So that being said, I'll turn it over to the city attorney for some brief comment, please. Thank you.
Absolutely, Mayor, Council. As you know, Stanton is a general law city, so it's subject to all the general government sections. Charter cities have their own ability to some our own destiny. There's a list of items that would be considered municipal affairs in that the city could take additional steps and have more authority, such as elections, council, and there's a kind of a laundry list of what is considered municipal. And so there's a process to do it. Something that city would create a charter or ultimately has to be approved by the voters. There's public hearings that occur prior to that. And if there's a specific area of concern, our office is happy to vet that and research thoroughly. Some cities simply say we want a charter governing everything that we possibly can. And take all the authority charter. Some cities take a very limited approach. Say, here are the couple items that we want. So it's a wide array of options in this case and a certain direction to take. I'm happy to do so.
Thank you. You did the initial report that we got was gave us a very good overview. Maybe what I would like to recommend is that if the council wants to, is that we get a little more specific on what our choices are. I think one of the things are is that we as a council, maybe we would like to maybe have a meeting to where we sit down and we can go over some of the things that we may feel strongly about that would benefit us as a charter city to see if moving into a charter city would be, like I said, advantageous. You know, if we want to make everything all-encompassing, you know, that's an easy solution. That's where we basically have an overview on everything. But then maybe there's some things that we don't want to get into because it could cause us either a financial hardship or some legal issues. But I think it's something worth looking at, especially the way things are going government-wise now. It is right now, to be honest with you, we're losing local control on just about everything. Every day or every month, another bill comes down from Sacramento that takes away our local control. We are in the process of, we got the okay to collect signatures to take back our local control on some things. It's gonna be on the ballot. We're trying to get it so that it'll be on the November ballot. If it does, it'll help stop the bleeding of our control over what we do. You know, unfortunately, the people in Sacramento don't live in Stanton. And so the edicts that come down from them are very harmful sometimes to what our residents are And we as residents and we as governance, we have no say in it. And the people elected us to make Stanton the way they want it, not the way Sacramento wants it. And so this may be a tool that we might need in order to take back some control of the things we do. I myself, I'm not totally versed in what advantages are, but if you are willing to at least exploring it with me, I think it would be a good thing, that's all. Yes,
What I'm hearing from you is that you're hoping that by becoming a charter city, we could address issues like law enforcement, public safety, things like that. But based on the memo that HD sent us, it's not clear to me whether or not being a charter city would change any of that. I'm looking at our neighbors, you know, Cypress, Huntington Beach, Anaheim, these are all charter cities, and they're still experiencing these issues. So I'm not convinced that if we do go through that long process and the expense and the staff time involved of becoming a charter city, that we would be in any better of a situation, considering that our neighbors that are charter cities are experiencing the same frustration we are with lack of control. And so I'm not sure if it's, for me, if this is the right time to pursue that, because I'm not sure we'll get what we want out of it. And I don't know if it's worth the staff time and the money involved when we have other priorities in our city.
Well, and to your point, name the cities again.
Cypress, Huntington Beach, Anaheim, I believe those are all charter cities. And there are many more, too.
Right. But you had to realize, too, that although we probably don't see what the benefit is to those three cities, and so that's why I wanted to bring to light what the advantages are. I mean, just saying, well, it doesn't seem like they have the same problems we have. You know, we're a different city than other cities. We're 3.5 square miles. You know, both of those are giant monster cities. And so maybe being a charter city is not as advantageous to them as it would be for a smaller city. I would like to at least, you know, without spending a lot of money, at least getting some additional, you know, basic information on it out to everybody. Then if we don't want to do it, so be it. You know, I do know that there are some advantages on making decisions that other people make for us that we can make ourselves. Anybody else have any comments?
Just a question. As an example, would we have any more control on zoning? Could we not have ADUs the way the state is doing it? Or does Sacramento law supersede anything we do, whether we're a general law city or a charter city?
The mayor and council, our office hasn't looked into it comprehensively. There are some state laws where, for example, accessory dwelling units, that's state law. Whether I don't believe that charter cities have the ability to manage that. But there are some instances in terms of zoning and planning law where charter cities do have an advantage. One of the things I'm thinking about are zoning ordinances typically have to be consistent with the general plan. There's outfits, their charter cities, that's just one example, and it's certainly something that our office comprehensively how zoning is different between a charter and general law.
Criminal ordinances, would there be any difference there?
It, again, mayor and council, it would really depend. Some instances, some criminal state criminal laws are comprehensive and have been occupied by law, but haven't taken a comprehensive dive on it, in it, and there may be something out there that we haven't yet.
Okay. So my recommendation, if you're okay with it, is just to simplify without going into a lot of detail, a list of things that would be beneficial as a charter city that would enhance or improve our ability to govern. I think if we had that something simple like that would give us an idea if we want to go forward with it or we don't want to go forward with it at this time.
That's fine as long as we show the disadvantages as well.
I beg your pardon?
As long as we show the disadvantages as well.
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks for catching me on that. No, that makes sense. I think, you know, no, I think it's important that we look at the pros and cons on anything we do. And then we can weigh which way, what the value is. Are we okay with that then?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Do you have your direction on it, Jared?
Yeah, we have our direction.
Okay. And you can work with Hong Dao. You know, if this gets to where you need to bring it back to the council at any point, please do. Okay?
Sure.
Thank you.
Do that. I'm thinking a study session in the future so we can spend an hour or two diving into it, some particular areas.
Perfect. All right, we're now at 15E. This is a city council initiated item discussing regarding placing an item on the ballot to obtain voter input on the consideration of returning to an at-large election system. Madam Clerk? Yeah, you know, I had a chance to reread Mr. Shankman, my buddy Shankman, yeah, letter. And you know, it was so full of holes and so full of baloney that, it almost made me like, why did we even not fight him? And of course, the reason we didn't fight him, because it was going to cost us $1.5 million. So we gave him $30,000 and he went and put another wing into his $5 million house and moved on. Meanwhile, he left our city into five voting districts, which should not happen to a community that's only got 1.5 square miles of residents. You know, we may be a 3.5 square mile city, but when you take away the railroad, OCTA, the Edison Company, our two power plants, the nurseries, Highway 39 and the arterials, we got 1.5 square miles of residents. And so it's kind of silly to divide 1.5 square miles into, you know, 4 or 5 council seats. It's also, I think it's wrong to where, because we're such a small city, that we have not an opportunity for a council person to be the mayor. I really firmly believe that we should go back to that system where we rotate that so that each person is elected by the entire city and gets an opportunity to lead the city. To me, that's good governance. My recommendation after looking at this is the fact that there's going to be a timing element in this. Right now we're in the process of getting our census information, which will give us a better idea of where we are. We're going to be redistricting, which will give us a really good idea where we are. I will tell you now that I've just done my own demographic study, and his letter is like totally out of whack. He has no clue. Of course, it may have been that way. He might have stretched it a little bit back then, but it's not even close to what our demographics are today. I mean, our Asian population is at 26%. Our Hispanic population is less than 50%. You know, the white non-Hispanic is a little bit higher. And then we have an sundry of other people. And so disenfranchising the Hispanic community really doesn't hold much water anymore, especially when I had a chance to see what the results were, the number of people that voted. His other argument was that we didn't have enough, we've always had Hispanic candidates on the ballot, but they never got elected. But yet we did have many elected over the years, even more than any other representative group. And the funny part about it is that one of the names on there that he mentioned over and over again to get his numbers is not really Hispanic. So it was really flawed. Unfortunately, we didn't have the money to fight it. I think that if he would come back after us again in the future, I think that we would be able to win that at that point. And so I think nobody that I've talked to in this entire city doesn't want to vote for all the candidates, for anybody that they want to vote for. I've never heard anybody say that they're happy. Most people don't even know they're in a district, to be honest with you, and that's what's really sad. And so I think that this is something, I think it's going to take a period of time. I think probably the earliest we could get this would be in 2024, so that we have a chance to go through all the litigation. We'll have an idea of where we are, and then we would be able to probably be able to have an argument and be able to, you know, fight off all the trials. If we can do it in an earlier period of time, we can call for a special election if we wanted to, or, you know, whatever it necessitated to do. So anyway, that's my thoughts on it. I don't know, Carol, what do you think?
Probably the same thing now as I did when we originally did it. It's ludicrous, it's ridiculous, it's to the point of being criminal to force cities to do things like this. But reading through the notes for the meeting here, it cost Santa Monica $22 million to defend themselves.
Oh my gosh.
And we can't afford that. So, I mean, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot because this guy's an expert on how to run up legal bills.
Yeah, well, the thing that's good about it is I think that in that case, we're just going to have a court thing. I think one of the things, and I had discussed it, but not in great depth with our attorney, was putting it on the ballot to where we get the vote of the populace. I think the vote of the populace may give us a little more strength. I'm not sure, but that was one of the ideas that I had. Do you want to comment on that?
Mayor, Council, certainly this is something that, you know, there are ways to put it to the voters. Done advisory ballots, short of a full ballot as well, as you're asking, to put it back on citywide elections. I think the timing element, which the mayor mentioned, is we, end of September, we're expecting census data to come in. That'll in turn kick off, which is gonna go up until about April. And so, you know, as the mayor discussed, a lot more information. So it is really a timing issue, I think, is key in this question of, you know, if go that route, when's the best time to do it.
And I'm not sure whether, I mean, we're a very small city. You know, he's got bigger fish to fry, and I'm not sure if he would want to come back and defend his position here. Who knows? You know, if we don't challenge it, if we think it's wrong and we don't challenge it, we'll never know. If we just sit here and year after year continue on the way we're going. So to me, I think I'd like to at least explore what our options might be. Go ahead, Carol.
Hung Dao, if we, let's say it comes back and we decide to put it on the ballot, what happens if we ask our citizens to vote for it? And then this guy takes us to court and we take that away from them. Is that putting us in even a worse position?
Mayor, Council, you know, one, it doesn't have to go to the voters, right? So I think it was 2017 that the City Council did it of its own volition. It to the voters isn't necessary in some ways. It's an advisory ballot, and that's just opinion. If it is voted in by the voters, to undo it, undone by the voters also. It kind of, those type of ballot measures tie them in some manner. The voting and going from citywide to by district, that is what the Schenken letter brought up. It's very narrow constraints. It's really looking at districts and how populations may be diluted in terms of votes and the ability of certain populations candidates on the ballot, and so though, you know, information received for a ballot is useful and persuasive, the elections code does constrain why a city would go to a citywide election to by district. That's ultimately what, you know, a court would look at.
Go ahead, Alice.
Do you have any example of cities or school boards that went from, I know right now the trend is from at-large to district elections, but you have any examples of it going the other way where someone is, you know, currently having district elections and they go to at-large?
That's a great question. I know that was brought up earlier. I'm not personally aware it's something I could look into. And it's something, yeah, I just have to look into it.
So and the nice thing is because we, I think, and it was in April, was it 2017? We actually did this on our own. And because we did it, we can reverse it on our own. we have the ability to do that. And like she said, if it was on the ballot and done on the ballot, then we'd have to do it on the ballot. So, I mean, that's another consideration, that we could just do it. You know, the thing is if we did it, are we going to be challenged? And I think if there was no challenge, then we could move forward with it. Isn't there a particular amount of time that once we would begin to take that action that they would have the ability to file a brief on it?
Yes, Mayor, Council, I'm sure there are kind of statute of limitations for, you know, opponent to bring in action. I don't know if that would constrain it. You know, the city had wide elections for a long time. In 2017, I was kind of there. So he had been up against cities for a very long time. So I'm not positive that any plaintiff.
Yeah, he only got one resident in the whole city to sign that, just so you know.
Well, my fear is we moved to district because we were afraid of a $1.5 million fight. And I don't think that disappears. We could still get another letter, and then we definitely don't have to. I don't want to waste $1.5 million fighting an unnecessary lawsuit. So I feel the same as Ms. Warren here, where I don't want to waste our city funds picking fights that we really don't need to pick. I understand the frustration about being such a small city and yet being divided up. But at the same time, you know, as someone who, you know, admittedly is a product of the district election, I have to say that before I was elected into office, it did look kind of suspicious that in all of our city, we had three council members living on the same street within a few hundred feet of each other. And the other two lived in the same neighborhood when, you know, an area like mine, which is considered one of the oldest and probably least privileged area in Stanton, didn't have any representatives. So I can see the merit in allowing more different types of people to run in an election and perhaps lower that barrier to participate, because there's fewer streets to campaign on, there's less funds you have to raise to be competitive. And so I see a merit on both sides, but at the end of the day, I don't want our city to waste money when we have other priorities that I think we should be focusing on.
So let's say we go down this road and we get sued this election cycle. And let's say we win. 4 years from now, it could happen all over again, correct?
Mayor, Council, that's a possibility.
Well, you know, the other thing along those lines, though, is that before we have to spend a lot of money defending ourselves, we'd have to have somebody challenge us in a certain amount of time. And if that challenge came, then, of course, we could make the decision whether to go forward or not. You know, and I'm going to be quite frank with you. Most of us have been in this city a long time. Sometimes it's difficult to find a qualified individual on nine city streets that has an interest for this position, okay? Whereas if you draw from an entire community, you have a much larger pool of qualified people. Instead of maybe a few thousand, you've got tens of thousands. And to me, it gives us a better pool of leadership to draw from in the future for this. That's one of the other arguments. Look, I'm not gonna say I'm a fighter, we're all fighters, but you know, what's really, we could use $1.5 million for a lot of other things besides making him get another house or, you know, somewhere in the Bahamas or something. But what we could do is at least maybe if we decide to test the waters. And if that's what the community wants. I mean, other than one person, I have not, in all the years that we've had this, which has been almost 5 years, I have not heard one person support district elections, I'm sorry. And nobody has ever complained about citywide elections, ever, in the history of the city. And nobody's ever complained about the demographics of the city council.
Yeah, I think we agree with you. It's just the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
No, I understand.
That's the way I put it.
Yeah, you know, I'm so full of brush, man, you know.
No, I get it.
I know, I mean, to me, it's okay, it's not right. And you know, right's, I'm a right, wrong guy, and it's not right. It's not what's best for the community. So go ahead, Gary.
Chapman's letter didn't come out in just a void or something. Wasn't that something passed by the legislature and the Senate, California Voting Rights Act that, in that time?
Yeah.
That kind of gave him the ability to send these letters out?
Yes, that's a very good point. And his representative for the state of California was the assemblyman that wrote the bill that got out of office and went to work for Shrekman.
Okay, but nevertheless, wouldn't we be fighting a state law more or less? Because the state law wanted, it didn't specifically say districts, but it did want more people being involved in elections, and it kind of steered the way toward him sending the letter out saying that we really were in a discriminatory situation. Because again, Alice is right. Two council members living in the same neighborhood and three on the same street. I mean, there's no diversity of the city. I mean, those were all more expensive areas of the city too.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I've never had the state that I can think of come into a city and file these charges. It's always been done by Shrekman, not by the state of California.
Well,
the state of California,
set up to do that,
the state of California has never intervened. It's always been Shrekman. Shrekman is the only guy that I know doing this.
But I don't think he's the only one. I think there's other ones in the state. But I think we would be going against, the spirit of where elections are going. More democracy, I think, is where we're going. And I think districts tend to make people think they have more control. I mean, I do know a lot of my constituents.
Yeah, and Gary, I support that 100% with a large city. We're 1.5 blocks.
I understand.
This
that.
Is ridiculous for 1.5 blocks of the city. I'm sorry.
But
and you know what? If we're not treating everybody fairly, then shame on us. And shame on the people that don't want to run for office, okay? You know, I think right now we have a total different venue of how we look at things. To where we want to be fair to people, mm-hmm. and we look at our Citizens Academy, how diversified our citizens, and out of that are going to be our future candidates, you know. But what if all those people from that academy lived on the same district? You get my point here. We're too small of a city. We don't have that pool. Yeah, I don't know.
We've got a lot of residents, and we're not the smallest city population-wise by any stretch. Los Alamitos had to go to district elections because they got that letter too. There are 10,000 people. We're 40,000 at least.
Yeah, well, they're not happy about it either.
No, they're not. But I mean, I'm just saying, I think the tide of history is going toward more democracy.
Okay, so you're saying because we don't vote citywide, we're not a democratic city. Wow.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Anyway, I just thought I'd bring it up. I just think it's better that we have everybody an opportunity to elect everybody for city council. You know, I mean, I think it's the way it should be. I think every voter in this city should have a right to pick who they want to represent one of these five seats. And then I think that each one of us should have an ability to serve as the mayor. And we should rotate that just like we always did in the past.
I do agree with you on that.
So anyway, I'll leave it up to you guys. You know what? Why don't we do this? This is my recommendation. Let's wait and see how we end up with our census to find out what our population is. That's number one. Let's wait until we get what our new districting is going to be, which may be totally different. And then if we feel that we want to bring this back and discuss it at that point, I'll be happy to do it. How's that? Is that fair?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, cool. You got that, Patricia? You're so good.
She types fast.
All right, now we get to move on to somebody else.
My turn.
Okay, this is going to be the city council initiated item discussion regarding implementing vaccination rules and requirements for city staff members. Madam Clerk.
I would like to propose, since we're still in another year of COVID and it looks like it's going to go through into next year also, that with what the president proposed and what the president is initiating in a lot of large organizations, 100 people or more, and the military, various moves to go forward with trying desperately to get more people vaccinated. I propose that we as a city require our staff and I would think volunteers too that work, that do the classes and stuff like that here and everything, need to show that either they're vaccinated or that they can do a test. And I think we could give the usual exemptions for religious beliefs or health issues. I have no problem with that. But I think we need to take a stand and go for the betterment of the community, the health of the community, versus a virus that is killing an awful lot of people and has killed a lot of people in this country and in our city and in Orange County.
Okay, we'll start with Carol. Go ahead.
I agree with Gary. I mean, we're a public service entity here, and I don't think part of our public service is transmitting COVID-19. And so all my clients are get your shots or go, unless it's a health or a religious issue. So, I mean, a couple cities have done it already. There wasn't the backlash. Kind of been watching that in the news to see how it went over. So I agree with Gary. I think we ought to do it.
Alice?
I know this is a very touchy subject, and people have very strong views on this. And the information I was given by city staff is that the vast majority of our staff members are vaccinated. I believe we only have 8 or so out of, I think, almost 60?
Currently, 51 of 59 have self-attested to receiving the vaccination.
89%.
So 89% are vaccinated, which is an incredibly high number.
86.
Okay.
I got upset.
And what I wonder is, the folks who are self-attesting to being vaccinated, do they actually have to show proof of vaccination, or is it just whatever they claim to be? Is there proof required?
No, currently proof is not required. If we did move to the mandates, we would require proof of vaccination.
Okay, so it's unclear right now if that 89% or 86% is actually accurate, because no proof was required.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, yeah. So the best case scenario is we have 80-some percent of the folks vaccinated.
Which is very good.
Which is very good if it is true.
I
think that I think the ultimate goal, like you said, is to get as many people vaccinated as possible. And if we mandate this, would the result be we have all these folks who are good employees, would they leave? Would they rather lose their job than to get vaccinated? And are we willing to accept that outcome? Or would the opposite happen, where people would be deciding, okay, well, now I have to get tested every week, I would rather just get vaccinated? Would it actually move the needle to our goal, or would we end up losing people? And so that for me is a struggle. I don't want to lose good people, and I worry about that. But at the same time, I want to make sure our employees feel safe at work, and our employees feel that they don't have to worry about catching COVID, and that we are a city that takes the pandemic seriously. And we, you know, having a kid at home for the past two years has been very frustrating, and I don't want that to happen, where the situation gets worse, and then parents like myself have to suffer. And so I want us to do our part. But at the same time, I want to make sure we're very sensitive to the needs of our, 8, I guess, employees that refuse to get vaccinated. I want to give them options, if possible, maybe a carrot of some sort, maybe some sort of incentive to get vaccinated. And then, you know, if they have some sort of health reason where they absolutely cannot take a vaccine, I want to make sure they, I know there's a testing site right down the street, at Scanton Park, so it shouldn't be too difficult to get tested. But give them that option. And so I agree with you that we want to create a safe environment, but I do want to get maybe some feedback from staff to see if there's anything more we can do on our end to encourage testing and vaccination, and not just beat them on the head with it.
Mr. Ramirez.
Yeah, that's a tough one. The company I work with actually is doing this as we speak, and they're willing to let people go if they don't follow the rules. So that's, you guys bring up great points. I mean, at the end of the day, we won't encourage people to get tested so they don't, quote unquote, get the virus, but yet we realize that there are people that have been inoculated, but yet they still get the virus. So, you know, it's not perfect, right? Get that. But we do want to encourage the right thing, and the right thing is to definitely get the vaccine. So I'm fine with it. I just want to know the protocol that, Gary, you have in mind in terms of religious and or medical exemptions. The expectation that someone who files for that exception and is granted the exception, we expect he or she to get tested once a week before they come into work, once a month. I mean, how do we work that out? Because I guess we need to talk that out.
If we go down that route, one thing that we can do is work with PPKA City Insurance firm, and then the CJPA, our risk manager, just came out with three separate policies.
Be happy with that.
Any other comment?
No, I think everybody's kind of on the same page from what I understand. I haven't heard what you have to think.
Saving
the best for last. But I think we've got four people on board here so far.
You know, my personal opinion is that, you know, I think every individual has a right of choice, and sometimes they don't make the right choices. You know, it was so hard for me. I've been pushing vaccinations and testing before it was popular, back in February a year ago, when the county wasn't even doing it, and I was begging them to do testing. So I'm much an advocate of it, but I'm also believe in a person's individual rights. So I'm kind of caught between two places here. If somebody wants to not take the shot, do they have a right to make that decision? Or why should we make that decision for them? I think that's pretty much what we're talking about here. And, you know, As I said before, I believe in individual rights. My other thing is does a person have a right to choose that if he doesn't get a shot and he gets this, there's a really good chance with the new strain, whether it's a Lambda or Delta, a Beta, that he's going, or in the new one, that he could die or she could die. And so, you know, that's, again, matter of choice. I've had so many young people that, because I try to stay up with OCA Health because I'm working with them, and the number of young people that are catching it in their 20s and 30s that are dying, and they're dying there in the bed with the respirator, and they're going, why didn't I get a shot? And so, you know, you know, that's a dilemma that we do. I definitely think that we have to have some type of an exemption, whatever we design in our process, to where we're treating the employee fairly, whether it's the fact that they feel it, and I don't know how we could even define religious belief. That could be anything. And then the other thing is health from their doctor. I think both of those caveats would give a freedom of choice. And I think that would be something. Also, it's got to be mandatory for all of us that if they don't have shots, that they get tested. I think that not only helps them. In fact, you know, I don't know why we're not all testing, because it's so easy now, even if you've had the shot, to get it again. I mean, I have three doctors, and all of them got it again, and their wives didn't get it, but they got it. I'm sure we've all experienced people. And I know people that got it again and died. So, I mean, it's kind of an unknown out there. It's hard to govern something that you really don't have a firm grasp on what it is, although we want to do the right thing to help control it as we go through it. I have some reservations about the legality of what this body can do. I don't know whether we've gotten an opinion from our attorney or whether our HR director has looked into it, where are we with this, and what are the state, what are federal mandates? I know that the president, and I don't know, I think maybe he started this a couple of days ago, I'm not sure, but if you have 100 employees, it's mandated by the federal government. Does that affect us? You know, I don't know. What's going on, Helen?
Mayor and Council, from what I understand, you know, this is not a mandate on the city. It's a voluntary discretion decision. And in terms of able to make that policy decision, yes, the city can. I'm aware of other cities in Orange County and across the state that have steps. And if the council wanted to go on this path, certainly I would be working with our labor and employment attorneys to incorporate all of the hard exemptions provided as outlets for folks who not
Okay, so let me throw something at us just for thought. So I'm Dave Schauber, and I'm a city employee, and I don't want to get vaccinated. And you tell me that if I don't get vaccinated, then I can't work here, right? So I go out and get vaccinated so I can keep my job, and I die. Now, what is the liability for that?
That is quite a question. These are evolving issues. I certainly we would want to confer with Signature, who I'm sure, you know, first of all, represents many, many agencies and has also thought through. We have a dedicated COVID response team at our firm. I will refer to my team, but that's something that, you know, certainly we would come back with a potential policy and a potential risk assessment on.
I mean, that's kind of drastic. I hope to God it never happens. But however, if you think the $1.5 million Shregman settlement is going to bank, you know, that could actually bankrupt a small community, you know, as far as that goes. Go ahead, Allison.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, that is a very interesting question. And I'd like to pose the opposite question, where if we do not require vaccines and somebody in our city dies due to COVID because of an outbreak, are we liable? You know what I mean? It can work both ways, and you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But I think there are far more cases of people dying of COVID due to not being vaccinated than due to being vaccinated. So it's just, I don't know. I'd love to hash out the details. So it sounds like what we want is show proof of vaccine, of receiving the vaccine, or proof of weekly negative tests. Is that where we are? And then if we are requiring all our staff and, I guess, volunteers to do that, are we also requiring our contractors, like the police and fire? They work in our city. Is that also a requirement, or is it just city staff, full-time staff, part-time staff, and volunteers? I'd like to get more, maybe reach a consensus on that, at least.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I don't think we can make a decision tonight, but I think we do need to get a lot more information. Let's go back over what we're talking about. We need to find out about, first of all, what the laws are that regulate us. Are they changing, which they're a moving target? Number two, do we require everybody to wear a mask? How do we go about that? What the exemptions are, what our options are with exemptions, what the liability is with our insurance carrier. Are the insurance carrier going to even carry us if we were to require that? Or is our insurance carrier going to drop us or not? We're dealing with two unions. We're dealing with 3631 with the Orange County Fire Authority, and we're dealing with the Association of Orange County Deputy Sheriffs, which the Sheriff's Department is. And I can tell you right now, both of those unions would probably at this point oppose us. So we have that problem, not a problem, but we have that consideration. We also now have two agencies that are also affiliated with the County of Orange, who also have their regulations, because the question is, are they our employees? Are they the county employees? And where does that fall? To me, I think if I recall, a lot of the things in the MOU are between the JPA and these organizations. As the, like, in other words, the OCFA would be with the JPA, where the Sheriff's Department would be with the administration, working in hand with the Sheriff Barnes, who is an elected official, who has his say versus the county. So that's quite a quandrum, whatever that word is. That's quite a corundum or whatever that we really need to take a look at. And I know that all our hearts are in the right place. We want what's best for everybody. And you're right, we do have the public, we have to protect the public. We just don't want to make this political, which unfortunately it is. We want to just do what is right under health advice. And I think also I would love to get the healthcare agency to get in here and give us an update on what's going on with it, so that we all understand, you know, what's going on with the different viruses, what could happen to our employees, what can happen to us. And then once we get this knowledge, and I don't expect it to take 6 months, we then can come back and make a concerted decision that's what's best for everybody.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
Does OCFA and OCSD right now fall under Biden's mandate, since they, I presume, have over 100 employees? They're already, so they don't have over 100 employees?
No, they do. Oh. I think they fall under that mandate.
But they don't fall under that mandate.
Oh, they, you, sorry, Chief, you don't have a mandate right now, do you?
We're not mandated for OCFA, right?
And you're not either, are you, Chief? And what does the future look like? I'm sure you've heard some discussions, correct?
It's been brought to the table as to are you maybe doing a mandate in our custody setting,
And that would be starting at the jail, I believe, correct? Okay. So right now it's not in the rank and file.
Okay.
And are we looking at maybe 50% right now of both of your organizations have been vaccinated at this point?
I'm not sure.
I think there's some numbers, either 50 or 60, whereas the city of Stanton is at 86, correct? Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
The sheriff's department's about 50%. It was in the register this week.
That was LA.
50%.
Wow.
No. That's what I thought.
It was in the Orange County register.
Anyway, folks, so is it okay if we kind of get all this information and bring it back in a...
So if we
could have a special meeting.
Yeah, I mean, so it sounds like there's a consensus that we want mandates for city staff, at least.
Yes.
With either a proof of vaccine or weekly tests.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are we going to do that tonight, or are we going to do it after we get all the information back?
I'd like to get more information.
Okay.
But that's the direction.
That's the direction you want to go? So our goal is to require vaccination for all city employees with an exemption. And then we're going to look at all the outside influences so that we can make the correct decision. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Santa Ana passed this measure, so we might want to talk to Santa Ana, and so did Laguna Beach, I believe. So we could talk to those cities, too.
Okay, good. How's that, Mr.?
We have a marching order, so
okay.
We'll return. Won't be 6 months, right? But if you want to look at a lot of the liability concerns, the money, the healthcare agency down here for an update and answer questions.
Just because of and the situation, though, could we maybe expedite this and bring us something
sure.
back at the next meeting?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
great.
But I mean, it does.
Absolutely.
This could be life and death for some people.
And then also, don't forget to ask our carriers, insurance carriers.
Yeah, yes, JPA.
Yeah, because if we accept that liability on our own, that's not good either. Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, we'll now move on to 17A, and this is the Orange County Fire Authority report. Go ahead, Chief.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, City Council members. Just kind of go over some brief numbers for you. For the City of Stanton, and for the unincorporated area of Stanton, for the city, we had 17 fire calls, and unincorporated, we only had one. As far as medical aids in the city, 302, and unincorporated, we had 55. Total incidents in unincorporated and the city is 398.
Thank you, and I really enjoyed having the opportunity to give the speech at the 911 ceremony at our authority headquarters. We had a great turnout, a lot of elected officials, and it was a very nice ceremony, so pass that on, please. I'd appreciate it. Okay, the score right now is we're going to keep the governor.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, no items today.
Okay, how about from our executive director?
Yes, sir. I'd like to allow Sonia to announce some community events.
Sorry, I missed you.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the City Council. I do have a few events to highlight. So this Friday, we do have OCFA, OCSD. We are highlighting all the services over at the Family Resource Center. We have some carnival games, refreshments, get to know some staff, and lots of fun. That begins at 5:30. And then next Friday, we have a Symphony on the Go concert over at Stanton Central Park at 7 p.m. free. I'd like to remind everybody to come enjoy some family games and activities and symphony from Orange County. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, one more item. It was briefly mentioned, Citizens Academy applications are being are open right now until September 23rd. That academy will run from September 29th and then culminate here in a graduation ceremony November 9th. So tell all your friends and all the residents, all your neighbors. Thank you.
Is that it? Any other business before the council? Anyway, thank you all for being here tonight, and good evening.